I'm doing the other part. You guys are supposed to keep going. Ugh. We're never going to be an acapella group.
I don't know what you're doing.
Ever. Welcome to the holiday season, ladies and gentlemen.
Was this the beginning of the podcast?
Yeah, we're recording.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, he's a good one.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 12 Days of We Like Theme Parks and 12 Days of Christmas. And on this Christmas, we're celebrating a different Christmas holiday. We're going to celebrate Life Day.
Life Day.
Okay. This is really exciting time, guys. I'm sure you guys know about Life Day. If you don't, let us fill you in. In 1978, after the very famous Star Wars film came out, A New Hope.
I've never heard of it.
George Lucas and company decided in CBS to bring a straight to television special Star Wars for the Christmas season.
It's a nice way of, you know, rephrasing selling your soul.
Kind of. But anyway, they did it. You know what? People wanted it. They were ready for it. It happened.
And we've been loving it ever since.
And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, because it's Christmas and getting into the spirit of the holidays, Mark, instead of doing, what's the story that you read to your kids every night? Every Christmas?
I don't have kids.
Okay, so what's the story?
To children every night, that would probably get
What would that story be
trouble?
That you read to your kids? I do it every Christmas Eve.
It was the night before Christmas?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh boy.
Here it comes.
Instead of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, may I introduce you to Mark Andrada and his rendition of Life Day, a Star Wars radio play. And it begins right now. Ba-da-bum, ba-da-bum.
This is the most idiotic thing I've ever done.
just you wait.
Okay, now hold on, Chewie. All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, cozy up to the fire. Come on over here. Have a seat. It's time to tell you a story. Get your blue milk.
Yeah.
Because Mark is going to tell you the story of Life Day. Go ahead, Mark.
Can you imagine a hot blue milk?
Oof. Yeah, no. Can't imagine that.
Anyway.
Here we go.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, rebels Han Solo and Chewbacca were cruising through space en route to Chewie's homeworld, Kashyyyk. This year, Kashyyyk will play host to the galaxy's celebration of Life Day. But just then, they were attacked by two Imperial Star Destroyers.
Ah, blasted Imperials! Ah, don't worry, Chewie. We'll get you back home for Life Day in just a few parsecs. I'm gonna lose them.
Meanwhile, in Chewbacca's treetop home in the heart of Kashyyyk, Chewie's wife Mala, father Itchy, and son Lumpy anxiously await Chewbacca's return. Mala runs to a computer scan to try to find the Millennium Falcon, but unfortunately, she's unsuccessful. So, she reaches out to Luke Skywalker and asks if he knows where her husband is. But alas, Luke doesn't know.
Sorry, I don't know.
So Mala reaches out to Son Dan, a local human trader, to inquire about Chewie's whereabouts. But because Son trades with the Empire, he can only speak in code to Mala.
Yeah, that shaggy carpet you ordered is gonna arrive real soon. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Meanwhile, back on the Star Destroyer, Darth Vader tells his generals to sweep the galaxy for rebel scum.
Find them.
Back on Kashyyyk, Son has sneaked past the Imperial patrols to bring the gifts to Chewie's family.
If I can make it past those patrols, so will Han and Chewie. In the meantime, I brought you Life Day gifts.
Sweet Lumpy receives a special transmitter, while Itchy was gifted a virtual reality chair, which Itchy discovered to be quite pleasurable. Oh, Itchy. While Itchy enjoys his present, Princess Leia contacted Son and instructs him to protect Chewie's family until they arrive on Kashyyyk.
You got it, Princess.
Meanwhile, back in space, Han and Chewie have evaded the Empire and have made it to Kashyyyk.
See, Chewie, have I ever let you down? All right, well, you don't have to be a nerf herder about it.
On Kashyyyk, Lumpy hears the sounds of the ships landing near his family's home. He runs to the door to greet his dad, but instead finds stormtroopers.
All right, men, load your weapons.
The lead officer demands to search the home, looking for rebels. Son and the family try to distract the soldiers with Jefferson's starship, but alas, it doesn't work.
Occupy the youngling as we search the rest of your residence.
Mala takes a young Lumpy to a video screen to watch a cartoon featuring a not-yet-discovered Boba Fett as the stormtroopers rip apart Lumpy's room. As the patrol is busy downstairs watching B. Arthur pour drinks at the Mos Eisley Cantina on the Empire's television network, Lumpy uses his new transmitter to fool the officer downstairs.
This is the Empire. Call off the search.
There's no one here.
The officer and soldiers take the bait and leave the home, all except one stormtrooper, who goes upstairs and discovers Lumpy using the transmitter. A chase ensues, which ends up outside Chewbacca's house and onto their front deck, which hangs high up on the trees. There, we find that Chewbacca and Han are home, and they quickly dispatch the stormtrooper. Chewie has a warm reception from his family. They all embrace the moment and each other. Until a general from the Empire contacts the home and insists that a stormtrooper has gone missing. Son thinks quickly.
That stormtrooper stole a bunch of stuff and ran away, so he's gone. You don't have to worry about that guy. All good here.
The general replies.
Okay, then.
Having thwarted the Empire a final time, Han, Chewie, Itchy, Mala, and sweet, darling Lumpy celebrate a beautiful life day ritual where they dress in fabulous red robes and walk into a giant light-carrying glass orbs. Later, Chewie joins up with Luke, Han, and Leia. Leia gives a beautiful speech about how we must all come together to fight evil, no matter where we came from. And then, she sings a song about it.
I agreed to be on the Christmas special if I could sing a song. Thank you, CBS.
And finally, Chewbacca and his family gather around their family table to enjoy a bountiful Life Day feast. Happy Life Day to all, and to all, a good night.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That was The Night Before Life Day, as narrated by Mark Andrada. Give it up, guys. Applauso. That was beautiful.
That's
that was very nice. Did that give you some holiday feels?
Gave me something.
It gave you something? Oh, yeah. Give it up. Give it up. Mark Andrada.
I hope you play that in your earphones before you go to sleep.
What's that?
I hope people play that in their earphones before they go to sleep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're like, oh, this is a story one. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to get all tucked in. I'm going to have a glass of warm milk, and I'm going to pretend that it's blue.
I'm going to stick some soy in it and some food coloring. Ladies and gentlemen, that essentially is the story of Life Day. If you've watched the Life Day special.
I want to say that this version is clearer than what happens in the movie. This is like, oh, okay, I see what's happening here. In the movie, there are so many, it's very
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about this a little bit. It's a real interesting story about what happened. So I'll give you some nuggets that I know. I'm sure both you guys will just chime in. But essentially, Star Wars opens. It's the biggest thing since sliced bread. Everybody is parodying it. It's on SNL. It's on all kinds of variety shows. I even saw Richard Pryor do a sketch. He's in the bar in Mos Eisley's Cantina. Everybody's doing it. So CBS says, hey, why don't we do a variety show, like a Christmas special? And George Lucas thinks it's a good idea because he wants, while they're building Empire,
Lucas is unsure of what a good idea actually looks like. I think that's what
you can tell by Jar Jar Binks.
Well, George thinks like, hey, that's a great idea. We want people to be thinking and talking about Star Wars, and this is a great way to keep it in the conscious. Another thing is, maybe we introduce some new people. We can sell some new toys because he was all about them toys.
And they introduce Boba Fett.
They could introduce Boba Fett that was going to be featured in Empire Strikes Back. And they wanted to introduce Chewie's family, like this adorable, cuddly family, Lumpy and Itchy and all those guys.
Talk about a misfire, hey? Yeah.
Well, what's funny is a lot of these bumps and moments from this Christmas special was actually harvested from the original script.
Yeah, with dubs.
can you believe that, though? That this stuff was actually in the original concept?
Wow.
Yeah. This is the stuff that fell on the cutting room floor. Now you know why. So George Lucas goes, great, go ahead, but I'm so busy working on Empire that I can't really pay much attention to what you do. So here's a bunch of ideas. Oh, well, you know, we'll see you later. Apparently the cast is reading what CBS is coming up with, because CBS is hiring a bunch of like writers that work on variety acts and variety shows,
as they should,
who might not be plugged in on sci-fi so much.
No,
they write this script that the actors see, and the actors are like, "Well, this is nonsense."
Yeah,
but George Lucas goes, "You're contractually obligated to get in there and make something happen."
And the actors say, "Have you read the script?" And he's like, "No, but the check cashed."
Yeah, the check cleared. So. Yeah. And yours does too. So your check is coming. So get in front of that camera. All of them were not super keen about this. But you could tell if you watch the movie, they're giving her. Like, oh, they're trying to do the best they can with the pages in front of them. It's a little bit sad. And then, they shot it and they did it. And it featured all these, because it's a variety show. So it had all these musical elements and sketches and stuff that we don't even mention in our little Life Day radio play.
You know what the funny thing is if they did this again now, it would be so successful.
Oh, yeah.
It would be huge. And I mean, exactly this. Like, not exactly, but like if they did the same sort of variety show concept and released it as a special on the network, on Disney Plus, I think people would go bananas for it.
I think they'll just release this on Disney Plus.
And people, I don't think it'll ever happen.
You don't think so?
That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm seeing. People...
Is George that upset about this thing?
So it looks like people are wanting to go back and see it again and you know, relive it. But as soon as they watch it, they're like, there's a reason why it was never released. There's a reason why George Lucas has never come out and said it's coming. There are some things that are just better left in lore, and I think this is one of them.
What's so crazy about this special is George is a great storyteller, and he's all about stories. There's no story here.
No, there's none.
And the story that they do have that's very just kind of sleepy, everyone's waiting for people to show up. And the whole episode is, you know, the family reaching out to people going, where's this so-and-so and where's so-and-so? And all of them have the same answer. Chill out, he's coming. Chill out, he's coming. Chill out, he's coming. Oh, no, bad stuff happens. Be careful. Oh, everything's okay. It's pretty ridiculous. And then amongst that, like that's already ridiculous, are these variety acts where they're so preposterous in this show where, all right, we got to distract the officers. Hey, officer, watch this video screen. And it's Jefferson Starship. Or you know what? You got to take Lumpy. We're going to go ransack his room. So why don't you let him watch something? And it's the Boba Fett cartoon. Just these things just kind of happen throughout the special. Now, the Boba Fett cartoon is probably the highlight of the whole thing, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark, Boba Fett cartoon.
Here's the thing.
Mark's been doing research.
Well, I was looking down at my phone because I wanted to make sure that I got it right. But Jon Favreau has already stated that he wants to make a Star Wars holiday special.
Amazing.
You know what I mean? So like, I feel like a Life Day special is coming.
Life Day.
I'm down. I'm down. Like I think if anyone's going to make it work, it's going to be Jon Favreau. And he's already made it canon. He's already underlined it. It was one of the first bumps in The Mandalorian was, what's his name from SNL?
He mentions Life Day, Horatio Sands.
Horatio Sands talks about Life Day. So great. And one of the things that people don't get is like, what is Life Day? And I feel like that was kind of lost. And apparently Life Day is supposed to be some sort of celebration of the cycle of life. It's celebrated every 3 years. They honor the ecosystem and every living creature in Kashyyyk is represented in the ceremony, which is the orbs and the balls and all that stuff. What I read was that the reason that they all wore the red robes is because they couldn't afford the whole costumes for all the Wookiees. Mm-hmm. Apparently they were quite pricey. And I think I'm excited about it. And it's great that they can have a little fun. And it's okay for Star Wars to have a misfire, isn't it?
Nope.
From the 70s?
What are you talking about? One misfire? Are you making it sound like they only have one? Is that what you're insinuating?
Solo? Is Solo that bad?
I didn't watch it.
Yes.
It's not that bad.
What about episode one? Episode one was...
Jar Jar Binks. There you go.
Jar Jar Binks there. Alone is, I would call him.
Jar Jar Binks is rough, sure. But like, would you say you hate that movie?
Yeah, I didn't care for that movie.
Yeah, really? Jar Jar really...
I didn't care for that movie so much that I didn't watch the other two prequels.
Oh, really?
Ooh. Yeah. I didn't bother because I was just like, I didn't like that.
Okay, so you're out on the prequels. Dustin, what's your feeling on two and three?
I'm sorry, they don't exist.
Oh wow.
There you go.
I'll say this much. I'm definitely like down on it, but I'm not out on it completely. Like I can still watch.
Oh, it's still two and three
are okay. There's some redeeming qualities. Yeah. I think the problem is that you got Jake Lloyd in that first one, and it's just kind of I'm watching this kid. This is the Anakin Scott, little Annie.
Right.
And then it becomes Hayden Christensen.
Could you imagine if Christopher Lloyd played that part?
Way funnier. And then Hayden Christensen comes in and he's just so like
so much
angsty
sad.
And ugh, it's just why not is enjoyable.
There always sad.
And Patton Oswalt has a great joke about talking to George Lucas about what those prequels are going to be about. Yeah. It's like, hey, you know that your favorite characters. Your favorite character, like Darth Vader. Yeah, Darth Vader, always so cool and whatever. He's like, yeah, so this is going to be him as a kid. It's like, oh, yeah, so he's going to be like an evil sort of like Damien little kid. He's like, no, he's just kind of sad. He's like, oh, well, that's not. Okay, he's like, yeah, well, you know about this character? Yeah, he's going to be like this? No, he's just kind of sad. Go over and over again.
This is a real conversation?
This is a Patton Oswalt joke, yeah.
But did he actually have a conversation with George Lucas? Does this come from
somewhere? In the joke it does, yeah.
Oh, okay. Have you ever seen that Patton Oswalt filibuster? All the Star Wars and Marvel comes together? No?
I don't know what this is.
Oh my God. Just go into YouTube, type in Patton Oswalt filibuster.
Yeah, you could put it on our Facebook page.
Okay, it's one of the greatest things ever. It's completely improvised.
And then I'll tag it with the joke that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
This is gonna be a Patton Oswalt fan page for
I love Patton Oswalt. He's amazing.
Yeah, me too. I like that.
Also Remy the Rat in Ratatouille, if That's you right. didn't know.
He also sat 3 rows behind me at the Muppets at the Hollywood Bowl.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, sitting. I was like, I got better seats than Patton Oswalt.
He's behind you.
Take it, buddy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, hey, Life Day coinciding with Christmas and Rise of the Resistance, all the Star Wars feels this holiday season. And we want to wish you the happiest of holidays. Happy Life Day. Please garner your red robes, take your orbs, and head on into that beautiful white light, because Life Day is for everyone, not just for the Wookiees. It's for you too. And it's for everyone who listens to the We Like Theme Parks podcast. Signing off on another 12 days of Christmas, it's Dustin, Bondo, Mark, and all the little elves and everyone else here in the North Pole making the holidays so special. Happy holidays. Podcast.